So we're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning in Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 16. And we're going to delve into this. I've titled this message, There's a River. Everyone say, There's a River. Good, we like that. Okay, so we're going to read Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 16, and it says this. And he came to Nazareth, that's Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. He went into the synagogue. Jesus went to church, people. Jesus went to church, as was his custom, it says. So he didn't just occasionally rock up. He went. It was a regular thing. He was intentional about going to church. Where would you find him at the weekend? You'd find him in the synagogue. He'd not only be listening to the teachers, but he'd be teaching the teachers. It was good. So he went to church. So if he went to church, we should go to church. Tell all those people who you see missing this morning, we should go to church because Jesus went to church. So as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Do you know, in the house of God, we're given things. We're handed things in the house of God. And it says here that he was handed the scriptures. Something was given to him. Something was imparted to him. And in the house of God is a place where things are imparted to us and given to us. It might be vision, it might be blessing, it might be support, it might be encouragement, it might be healing. But things are handed to us in the house. God wants to hand stuff to us in the house of God. He hands us those things, but actually it's our job to unroll it. It's our job to unravel it. So he might hand us something, but it's our job to try and make sense of what that is. It's our job to make sense of it. So he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Do you know, we're handed things in the house of God. And like I said, it's our job to unravel it. And I'm reminded of this passage of scripture in Genesis where Jacob was given a vision of the house of God. And in this vision, he sees the gate of heaven opened and a ladder going from earth up to heaven. And the angels were coming up and down this ladder. And that's the blessing of heaven was just pouring out. And he said, "How awesome is this place? This is the house of God." In the house of God, God's Spirit, God's blessing, God's anointing pours out on to his people. And that gate of heaven, is in the house, and it's out of that he wants to pour out to his people. He wants to pour out to each and every one of us blessing and supply and favor and hope and strength and healing. Whatever it is that we need from God, he wants to pour it out to us in the house. And it says in this passage of scripture, the word of God was handed to him and he unrolled it. It's important that it's not just, we don't just receive stuff, but it's our job to understand, to really get to grips with, to really wrestle with what it is that it means to us, what it is that it means, what God's given to us, how we can then work that out in our lives. You know, I can only stand here and preach the word of God to you, but it's your job to then understand how to apply that to your lives. You know, I can try and highlight things that I feel God's saying to us, but it's your job to unravel that a bit further. To not just hear these words on a Sunday and go away and forget about it, but to actually think about it and wrestle with it and mull it over and try to understand what it is that God's saying to you specifically. To not only hear the words on a Sunday, but to let it impact our Monday. Imagine being in the synagogue where Jesus was preaching, where Jesus was speaking. Just imagine that. What an honor it must be to be around the Son of God as he's speaking out the words of the prophets. Imagine being the preacher there. What pressure. You know, Jesus is sitting there going, I could definitely do a better job than him. Yeah. I'm sure he wouldn't do that. Definitely not. But as he read this, he chose to read this portion of scripture from Isaiah so that the scroll was handed to him, and he found a specific piece that he wanted to read. And he read a prophecy that was over 700 years old, but a prophecy that was written about him. This prophecy was written about him. And this is a guy who as a teenager was found in the synagogue, and he was found speaking with such authority that the rabbis and the teachers were wowed by his knowledge and his understanding of the scriptures. And now here he is as an adult reading from this portion of scripture, this prophecy. And in reading that prophecy, Jesus was essentially opening the door to his ministry, to let it begin, to begin what was to unfold and was to lead to our ultimate salvation. He was ushering in to the world the hope and the freedom that we needed. You know, scripture isn't just to be read. Scripture isn't just to be read, and it's not just to be heard. Scripture is to be fulfilled. And in reading that portion of scripture, Jesus was fulfilling a prophecy that was about him. He wasn't just reading words, he was fulfilling scripture. I wonder what scripture is to be fulfilled in your life. What scripture is to be fulfilled in your lives? Because we have the Spirit of God living within us. We have the Spirit of God inside us, and we're meant to outwork his promises and his plans and his purposes through living our lives for him. We are to fulfill scripture in the way we do life, in the way we choose to go, in the way we choose to live. We're not supposed to just hear the word, but we're supposed to fulfill the word. And he's placed us, as we've talked about over the past few weeks, he's placed us right here, right now, for a specific time, for a specific purpose, for a specific role. And each and every one of us has been given something very specific that he wants us to do. So scripture isn't just to be heard, it's to be fulfilled, to be outworked in our lives. Instead of waiting for your time, instead of waiting for your thing, instead of waiting for you to step into your ministry, perhaps just have a look around at what God's doing right now and see how you can get involved. Because, you know, we might know exactly what it is that God's called us to do, but that doesn't mean that the time is right now. We might know exactly what it is that God's put us here for, but actually he might be doing something else right now. So just take a look around and see what it is that God's doing, and see how you can get involved. Get yourself off the edge and immerse yourself in what God's doing. Try not to be a Christian who just attends church, but engage yourself. Get plugged into a life group. Come to the coffee morning. See how it is that you can serve this house. Plug yourself in to what God's doing right here, right now, and get immersed in it. You know, before Jesus' ministry really began, he was around, and he was walking around, and he was still speaking to people, but he was looking at what his Father was doing right now. So when he saw John the Baptist baptizing people in the name of the Father, he didn't come along and say, whoa, 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 let's stop that right now. How about I start baptizing people? Because I'm the Son of God, so it means more if I do it. He saw John the Baptist baptizing people in the name of the Father, and he went over and got stuck in. He got involved in that. He got baptized by John. He got baptized by John. And you know, as he went down into the waters, when he came back up, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. So he chose not to wait around for his time to come. He didn't choose to interrupt what was going on to push through his own agenda. He took a look around to see what was happening right here, right now, And he got involved in that and he was blessed. He was filled by the Holy Spirit when he stepped into what God was already doing in that area. And then as he came out of the waters and was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was then led out into the wilderness for 40 days. And in those 40 days, as we know, he was tempted with all manner of things. And who knows, when you're tempted, it can go one of two ways. Either you can fall and fail miserably, or you can stand and you can grow and you can get strength. And we all fall. We all fall. We all make mistakes when we're tempted. But you know, when we're tempted, and when we are strong, and when we do stand our ground, then our faith grows, our stature grows. We begin to be built up in this, because through temptation and through those trials and tribulations that God might use to grow us, he can use them to develop us, he can use them to prepare us for what's to come. So Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was then led into the wilderness for 40 days of trials and temptations by the devil. And that just grew him and developed him and prepared him to walk out of the wilderness empowered for what he was called to do on the earth. So we need to be prepared. We need to be aware that temptation's going to come, that trials and challenges are going to come. And the only way we can really face those and stand strong is if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So in order to be prepared for what's to come, we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're ready. So we're braced. So we're strong. So we're firmly planted in the knowledge and understanding of God's love for us, so that whatever comes against us, whatever comes against us, we can stand strong. And we can go through that and we can grow and we can develop ready, even more prepared, even more ready to fulfill his purposes in our lives. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He went in, he was grown and developed and prepared, and he left that place empowered to do his work. So let's just look at an Old Testament example of how God calls us and prepares us. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in Ezekiel 47. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet, and this book of his kind of talks us through a number of visions that he was given. It talks us through a number of visions that God gave him, and this last vision that we're going to look at looks at the vision of a new temple. It looks at a vision of the house of God. And we've already talked about the importance of the house of God, where the house of God is a place that we're handed things. It's a place where we're given blessing and honor and vision and purpose. And in chapter 3, a little bit earlier on than where we're going to pick up, it talks about how this temple is filled with the glory of God, his very presence. And then as the book goes on, it starts to describe restoration and changed hearts and changed lives and greater intimacy with God. Because when we're planted in the house of God, when we're engaged, when we're plugged in to what he's doing, he can then bring his blessing. He can pour it out on us. He can bring restoration. He can change our hearts. He can draw closer to us. That's the importance of it, because in the house of God, that's where he gives us things. It's in the house where we receive blessing and restoration and vision. So we're going to look at this passage of scripture, Ezekiel 47, starting at verse 1, and it says this. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around the outside to the outer gates that faces towards the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Now, who's confused about where the heck this water is coming from? Wow. It's just a little bit messy, isn't it? And it goes on. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits. That's like 1,500 feet. He measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and he led me through the water, and it was knee deep. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. Everyone say, there's a river. Come on. You know, so often a river depicts the life of God. It depicts the life of God. You know, in Psalms, it talks about a tree planted next to a river yields fruit and it prospers because that tree is planted in the life of God. And then in Revelation, it talks about the river of life flowing from the throne of God, and on its banks is the tree of life. And the tree of life has leaves that brings healing because that tree of life is planted in the river and the life of God. So the river is like the life of God equipping us to walk in his purposes, equipping us to walk in his plans that he's placed on our lives. So what it's describing here is the river of God. It's this life of God. And it says that the man measured 1,000 cubits and it was ankle deep. And then he measured another 1,000 and it was knee deep. And then it was waist deep. And then it was deep enough for him to swim in. You see, when ministry comes, when vision comes, when purpose is imparted to us, we're not just thrown in the deep end. You know, sometimes it might seem like we're thrown in the deep end, but we're not. It comes in depths. It comes in gradually because we're being prepared, whether we realize it or not, we're being prepared through the things that we go through in our lives to be ready for that next depth of his river. You know, I've always been a water baby. I love swimming. I love just being in water. And I remember my very first swimming lesson ever at a hotel in St. Anne's. And I went and had this lesson. I don't remember how good I was, but I'm sure I was excellent. And I had this first lesson, no doubt with armbands on and a teacher in with me to hold me and support me. And then I got out of the water, and with all the other kids, we were walked around the pool to the changing room. And as I got to the deep end, I thought, I'm not done. And I just jumped straight in the deep end of the water. But you know, we're not thrown in the deep end. We're prepared gradually, bit by bit, whether we realize it or not, God is preparing us for what's to come. So he's inviting us. He's inviting us to get into this river. He's saying, here is a river, and that river is the life of God. So why don't you just come in? Why don't you just come on in? I'm not saying jump in. I'm not saying run to the edge and do a cannonball. I'm saying just come in. Just dip your feet in. Dip a toe into the water. And this is called experiential Christianity. Experiential Christianity. We're just dipping our toes in to what God's got planned for our lives. We're just dipping our toes in and saying, okay, let's see what it is that you've got for me. Let's see what it feels like. You know that feeling on a hot day? Well, probably not here, but when you go on a holiday and maybe you've been sunbathing all morning and you feel really hot and you just want to cool off a little bit, and you might just go to the edge of the pool, or just see what it's like. Is it cold? Or just dip my feet in. And you dip your big toe into that pool and it impacts your whole body. You instantly feel this, I just feel so cool and refreshed. I mean, at that point, I just want to jump straight in, but that's not the point here this morning. What we're saying is just dip your toe in and see how that then impacts the whole of you. When you just dip your foot in the river of God, you begin to experience him. You begin to experience what it is that he's got planned for your lives. When you just go in up to your ankles, you experience the love and the grace and the presence of God. And it's like, wow, I can't believe that just up to my ankles and I'm feeling this already. It's incredible. And he wants us to experience his presence and his grace and his love and his mercy. If only we'll dip our feet into the river. But he doesn't want us to stop there. Because guess what? There's more. There's more. He doesn't want us to just dip our feet in. He says, come on in. The water's lovely. When people say that, they're in swimming around. Oh, come in, it's lovely. And you're like, oh, it's fucking cold. I don't want to go in. But just bit by bit, he says, come on in a bit further. Let's get up to your knees. Let's get up to knee depth and see what's going to happen there. Have you ever walked through a river that's flowing and that has this a strong current? You know, you can start just walking around in the shallows when it's just up to your ankles, and you can go wherever you want. But as you get in deeper into the river and it begins to rise up and it gets up to your knees, what was once quite easy walking around becomes a bit more challenging when it gets higher up. When it comes up to your knees, you can really feel that current begin to direct you, begin to encourage you in a specific direction. So we're looking now at directional Christianity. So we've dipped our toes in and we've experienced the love of God, but now we're hearing his call. And we're moving in a little bit further, and we're up to our knees, and we can feel him guiding us and moving us in a specific direction. You know, when we're in the river of God and we're in the flow of his Holy Spirit, and we're no longer just dipping our toes in, but we're up to our knees, we're no longer just experiencing God, we're being guided by him, we're being directed by him. Who knows that God's direction is better than our direction? Who knows that his plans are better than our plans? And his purpose is better than our purpose? So if we allow ourselves to get to that depth, to get in up to our knees, to understand and to feel that flow of the river of God, and we allow him to guide us, it's a powerful thing. It's really powerful because you know his path and his plans for our lives are perfect. When he's guiding our feet, you know, he'll guide you into the right job. He'll guide you into the right church. He'll guide you towards the right people because he knows what's going on in your life. He knows what plans he's got for you further down the river. He knows, he sees the big picture. So when we get in up to our knees and the river of God is flowing and directing and pushing us in a certain way, it's because he knows what's to come and he knows where we should be. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Because his plans are way better than our plans. They're so much better. But we've got to be in God enough so that we can feel his presence, so that we can sense him guiding us, so that we can hear him telling us where to go. And when we're walking in the direction that God wants us to, when we know that we're on the path and the plan and the purpose that he's got for our lives, it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. There's nothing quite like walking in the purpose and plan of God in your life when you know and you're sure and you're certain that your steps are exactly where he wants your steps to go. There's nothing like it. It's life-giving. And when we're knee-depth in this river of God, this life-giving river, he guides us along that perfect plan that he's got for us. He guides us along the journey, but he doesn't want us to stop there. He doesn't want us to just stop there because guess what? There's more. There's more. He doesn't want us to just get knee deep. He says, come on in further. Let's get up to your waist. Who knows that when you get into a river up to your waist, things are getting serious. Things are getting serious, you know. I mean, you get in your ankles and you're like, oh, this is a bit cold and it feels a little bit uncomfortable, and then you get up to your knees and you start to get bashed a little bit. But then when the water starts to rise up, okay, that's cold, you know, but you're in then, aren't you? You're committed. When it's up to your waist, you're really committed into this journey that you're on. And it's when it's up to your waist, that's what we're going to call transformational Christianity. Because when it's up to your waist, he's no longer just guiding you, he's changing you. He's changing you. At this depth, it's the life of Christ. It's the character of Christ. It's the image of Christ. It's the very nature of Christ that's filling you, that he's filling you with. And he's transforming you because It's transformed people that will transform people. It's transformed people that will transform people. And we've got to be transformed first so we can then go out and transform our friends and our families and our colleagues and our communities. Isn't that what we want from our lives? To be able to have an impact on those around us, to be able to take the love of God out of this place and into our communities. That's what we're after. I don't want to just be a person that comes to church on a Sunday and sings some songs and takes a few notes, has a coffee and a donut, and then leaves completely unchanged. I want to come into the house of God. I want to be planted in the house of God. I want to be plugged into what's going on in this house so that when I leave this place, I am changed and I am challenged, and that love of God, that life-giving river of God, is flowing through me and begins to impact those around me because I've been transformed by Him. I want to be instrumental in transforming others for God. You know, if our walk with God doesn't completely transform us, then we need to get deeper into the river. Amen? We need to get deeper into the river because we need to be transformed. And it's not just about perfection. It's not about perfection. It's just about change. It's about change. Everyone say, there's a river. You know, when you get waist deep into water, change happens. U-turns happen. I'm not talking about just small change. Big change happens when we get up to waist deep. Complete 180s on the way that we used to live. You know, maybe I used to be an angry person, but now I'm calm. Maybe I used to be filled with anxiety, but now I have the peace of God. Maybe I didn't know that I was loved. Maybe I felt no self-worth, but now I feel God's love. I have worth. I understand that I am His and I am for Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, beholding the image of God, we are being transformed into His image. As we look at God, as we fix our eyes on Him, we're being changed and transformed. As we plant ourselves into this life-giving river, we are being transformed. And we need to be changed. And we need to be transformed from the inside out so that when we leave this place, we impact other people. That when we leave this place, the river, the life-giving river of God, flows out of us and impacts other people. That expands His kingdom. That brings glory to God. So let's get in. Let's get in waist deep into this river of God. But He doesn't want us to just stop there. Because guess what? There's more. And it says, again, He measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And what happens when you get to that place in the river and you can no longer walk anymore, but you have to actually lift your feet off the ground, off that sturdy, comfortable, reassuring ground, and begin to swim in this river with all its current, well, then you lose control of your life. You lose control of your direction, and you give it completely over to the river. And this is what we're going to call missional Christianity. Because when you're in that water so deep that you need to swim, it's no longer you who decides where you're going. It's the river. It's God. You know, have you ever played that game Poo Sticks, where you stand on a bridge and you drop a piece of wood into the water and it flows and you race them down the current? I love playing that with the kids. But you know, dead wood floats the best. Dead wood floats the best. So who is dead enough here? Paul says we need to die to self. We need to die to self. So who is dead enough this morning to just let ourselves float down the river, to give ourselves completely over to God and say, here I am, I'm yours, this is just all of me, you can have it all, take me where you want to go? Because at that moment of decision, that moment when you lift your feet off the riverbed, you're just giving yourself completely over to Him. You don't know where you're heading anymore. You don't know what's around that bend. You don't know what's coming. You're just saying, it's okay. I trust you. I'm just going to give myself completely over to you. But it's scary. It's scary because you have no idea what's going. And we're calling this missional Christianity because ultimately that's what Christianity is about, isn't it? It's about going out and reaching the lost. It's about impacting others. It's not about self-fulfillment. It's not about getting God's blessing so that I can be blessed and I can prosper and I can be the very best that I can be. It's so that I can then go out and fulfill his purpose in my life and impact other people. Because if we're not winning souls for Christ, then what's the point? So that's why we're calling it missional Christianity. The whole basis of the message of Christ is not about us. It's not about the life in us, but it's about his life through us. His life through us. Do you know, there's a day about 2 years ago that I'll never forget. And I was sat in Ego with Jill and Steve. It was a Monday night because they had two courses for 20 quid and you get a free bottle of wine. And Jill loved wine. So we went there and we were sat at the table. And she said to me, have you ever thought about full-time ministry? And you know, up until that point, for years, people had been saying to me, oh, I see something in you. I see something on your life. You're going to be a pastor. And for years, I point blank said, no, I'm not just saying that I heard it and went, oh, that's nice. I was like, definitely, definitely not. That is not for me. That is not my future. I love my job. I love marketing. I am all in for that. I love church. I'll go, I'll serve, but a pastor is not my life. It's not my future. But on that day, when she said to me, have you ever thought about getting into full-time ministry? Something in my heart changed. Something changed within me, and now I can think about nothing else. And so when that happens in your life, when something changes that dramatically, when a U-turn like that happens in your life, you know it's God. Because it's definitely not me, because I've been saying heck no for so long. But now I can think about nothing else because there's a river. Everyone say there's a river. Come on your worst day, there's a river flowing through you. In your toughest time, there's a river flowing through you. When you're struggling, there's a river flowing through you. When you're living to purpose, there's a river flowing through you. And you know, it goes on in that passage in Ezekiel and it starts to talk about the destination of the river, because every river has a destination. It's not just about the journey, it's also a little bit about the destination, and every river in the world flows into the sea. And the sea in scriptures often points to the lost. Where did the fishermen drop their nets to catch fish? They dropped it into the sea, and they caught fish, and then they were called to be fishers of men. The sea represents the lost, and we're in this river and we are flowing in only one direction. We're flowing to the sea. We're going to collide. We're going to smash into the lost, because that's the purpose. That's the purpose. And in this passage in Ezekiel, it goes on to say the river goes down and it enters the sea. And when the waters flow into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live there. Because that's where God's life meets lost humanity. Where this river collides with the sea, that's where life is. That's where life happens. We get changed and we get transformed and we experience God when we're in the river, but life happens when the river meets the sea. Life happens when the river meets the sea, when our paths collide with the lost of this world, because the world is lost at sea and they're drinking salt water and they cannot quench their thirst. But when we come from the river, we bring fresh water. We bring the living water of God and they will never thirst again. And they're waiting to meet you. That's our mission, because in John 7 it says, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of water. It's our mission. It's our purpose. It's on each and every one of our lives, believe it or not, that we are to go out and impact the lost of this world. Every believer, everyone who's flowing in the plans and purposes of God, will at some point collide with the world. When you leave this place today and you go back into your daily lives, you know, it might be later on today, it might be tomorrow, but you're going to collide with the lost. And is the river of God, that life-giving river of God, going to flow out of you and into them to quench their thirst or not? You know, everywhere we go, we take with us this fresh, life-giving water. We take it with us and it'll quench their thirst so that they will no longer need to drink from that salty water, that they will be quenched, that they will have everything that they need, because we've been given the life-giving water that they so long for. The glory of God, the very future hope that this lost world needs. And it's going to come out of you, and it's going to come out of me. It's going to come out of you and me, not someone else. Don't sit by and think someone else will deal with that. It's you and it's me. It's every single one of us. And that's our mission. That's our calling. Whatever your specific purpose is in God, that's great. But ultimately, it's about the lost. So when we let the current of the river of God take us to his destination, to his purpose, you know, he transforms us and he changes us and he equips us and he builds us up when we're in that river. But ultimately, we're going to collide with the lost, and we need to bring that fresh and living water with us. There's a river. Come on. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you that you provide for us this life of God. You provide for us this flow of your Spirit, this blessing, this river that we can step into, and we can get everything that we need ready for when we reach that final destination. So that as we're in that river and we go not just ankle deep, not just knee deep, not just waist deep, but we start to swim in the river of God, that you equip us with everything that we need. You change us and you transform us so that when we collide with the lost, when we meet the sea, that we will be ready to bring to them this fresh and life-giving water that you've provided us with. We just thank you that we get to be on this journey, that we get to have the ultimate purpose of bringing your word and your love and your glory to those who don't yet know you. And we pray that even as we leave this place today, that this week we will have collisions like that. That next Sunday we'll come to church and there will be loads of praise reports of people saying, I collided with the lost and look what happened. Look what happened when I met the sea. So Jesus, we just thank you for everything that you do in our lives. We thank you for the plans and purposes that we have for you. And we just give ourselves to you. We just lie down in that river and say, take us where you want to take us. In Jesus' name.